We'll go into closed session. Yes.
Is our expectation that you're going to come out of closed session with a decision today? Should we stick around here?
Well, I think you should stick around. Okay. I mean, I don't really know what's going to happen. My sense is that we'll kind of get an idea of kind of what we would like to do, how we'd like to do it. We may come out and finish the deliberation publicly and debate certain things. So I wouldn't go anywhere.
Thank you.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Oh, I thought she said nope.
No, she's ready.
Oh, there is. Sorry. I misheard. I thought they said they had no rebuttal. They weren't going to rebuttal.
The district's closing argument focused entirely on the time schedule order, and that was the basis of the staff recommendation for the penalties, the time schedule order, as opposed to the basin plan violations. But I just remind the board that based on how the complaint was drafted, if after hearing the evidence, the board decides that the basin plan violations are a more appropriate basis for assessing an ACL order, the board still has that option. Regarding whether or not we're alleging basin plan-wide violations, I think we've made it very clear that we're only alleging violations based on the district's three discharges. All of the other factors that we've discussed go to culpability and go to whether the board should assess the maximum $10,000 a day or not. The district is the entity that the community elected to build a treatment plant, and that's relevant to the district's culpability here. That's all I have to say on that. In terms of the paradigm shift, I have two comments on that. First, the paradigm shift was recognized when the district was formed. The time schedule order gave them the time they requested to develop a new plan and implement the new plan, obtain funding. The original cease and desist orders issued to the district had a schedule in them. The time schedule order lengthened that schedule in order to recognize that the district was a new entity and that there was a new paradigm. The second thing is that for the district to come in here and suggest that this board should fix the problems with their paradigm is outrageous. The community went to the Coastal Commission and enlisted the Coastal Commission's assistance in having the opportunity to form a local entity to build the treatment plant. And Mr. Seitz argued in his closing argument that that was appropriate because when the county had the project, the affected voters were a tiny little proportion of the county. It was set up in a way so that some of the district is in the prohibition zone and some of it's outside of the prohibition zone. Maybe that's the only legal way to set up a community services district, but to say that this board has to fix that by expanding the prohibition zone or doing anything else is outrageous, particularly since, as the district well knows, if the prohibition zone area is expanded, there's going to be a lot of opposition to that because there is a lot of sentiment in the community and possibly at the Coastal Commission, that would have growth-inducing impacts, which are objectionable. The cease and desist orders, as I've said, are not the basis of the allegations, but the district now argues that it should get new cease and desist orders, and I just don't understand that because there were cease and desist orders that had schedules in there. The district couldn't meet them, so the board gave them more time by adopting a time schedule order. The enforcement policy does talk about cleanup and abatement orders and cease and desist orders as options, but it also talks about progressive enforcement, which is it's in Section D, page 3 of the enforcement policy, which says that progressive enforcement is an escalating series of actions that allows the efficient and effective use of enforcement resources. So you go from the least stringent enforcement action that's likely to achieve compliance. And if that doesn't work, you move to the next step and to the next step. Well, what the district's asking you to do is to move back 6 years in steps to go to cease and desist orders again. With respect to the 2000 project, it wasn't just a project to clean up these facilities. It was a project to sewer portions of the community. And as Ms. Marks testified, the district withdrew that. The board never considered it. The board never rejected it. staff made some comments, including that it would be better to sewer a larger area, but other comments on problems with that project, and the district withdrew it in favor of the Tri-W project. There was some discussion that the cease and desist orders were stale. Well, they were stale because the district was already in violation of the time schedules in those cease and desist orders, and the board cured that by issuing a longer schedule. Regarding who should pay the assessments, I don't have any further comments on that. I'll leave it to the discretion of the board to consider how to weigh that evidence, but it still doesn't seem any different to me that some people are in the prohibition zone and some people are out of the prohibition zone than it would be for a county who's running a treatment plant for a portion of the county, servicing only a portion of the community, except that in that case, it may be a much smaller portion of the community. The district argued that there was a delay of a year and a half because of the Cal Cities challenge to the WDRs and suggested that somehow it was this board's fault that its WDRs were being challenged. Well, the basis for the Cal Cities challenge was that the WDRs included effluent limits which weren't stringent enough. So I don't think that the district's suggesting that the board should have issued WDRs with more stringent effluent limits, but I think that you should keep that in mind in considering that argument. Regarding the sale of Broderson and the Tri-W property, we're certainly not advocating the sale of either of those properties. We don't encourage the district to sell the Broderson property in violation of their Prop 13 grant. As Mr. Onstott testified, the staff does, not testified, argued, staff does want to see the Tri-W project built. It's the only feasible project that's out there. We didn't pick the Tri-W project. Wanting them to build the only possible solution doesn't violate Section 13360. The Tri-W project is all that's out there. It has permits. The district owns the property where the project is going to be built, and until December 9th, it was completely 100% funded. On the due process issues, I'm not sure what surprise evidence Mr. Onstott was talking about. We didn't introduce any evidence today. We provided all the last evidence we provided was on December 12th, which was almost a month ago. We did attempt to introduce a newspaper article 2 days ago, and the chair denied that request. The conduct of this meeting was subject to very extensive and specific hearing notices that included hearing procedures. The objections regarding incorporating all exhibits, I don't really understand. I think Ms. Schaffner addressed that with Mr. Seitz earlier today. I obviously can't respond to the discussion of Walsh v. Kirby, but I find it a little surprising that the district would finally provide legal authority for their arguments when the chair and the chair staff have been requesting that for over a month, particularly since the district expressed some concern that we would use our rebuttal to sandbag them, but I'm happy that they did finally provide some authority. I do also have authority regarding the amount of penalties being punitive, and the case is called Ojavan Investors, Inc. versus Coastal Commission. It's a Court of Appeal case from 1997. It involves some violations of Coastal Commission permits, and one of the violations had to do with a transfer of development credit, a program for a transfer of development credits, or TDCs, that was intended to protect coastal resources. They're not called dischargers. The permittees argued that the penalty, which had actually been imposed by a court, not an administrative agency, was punitive. And the court said, "We disagree in light of the public interest goals of the TDC program, the need for uniform compliance with the program so as to further the Coastal Act's objectives to protect the coast, and appellant's blatant disregard of the deed restrictions." The violation of the deed restrictions was the basis of the penalty. The court said that the penalty was an acceptable amount, even though there was no physical damage to the environment and the defendants made no profit. The penalty in that case was $10 million. That's all we have to say, and we thank you for all your attention.
Any board questions before we go into closed session? Okay, seeing none, we will break. I don't know how long we will be in, but at least it's my hope that we will come out to hear. Yeah, we're going to go in another room. And we're going to... What's that? A half hour. Let's just say a half hour is our target, because we can complete deliberation out here if we just cover some things. Okay, so a half hour is our target for returning here in this room. 1 half hour. What? Did you want more time, Mr. Seitz, to have dinner?
Maybe again.
Oh, but what was that? That you're hungry?
He's